He's actually...
Okay, mm-hmm. And he's from Edmonds, Oklahoma, or somewhere in there. And then,
the same thing.
Yeah.
Except for the... If you ever say anything about Mary, then he'll tell you.
Like it's on... It's got red solid light.
Yeah, but it looks like we're...
Low on battery.
Yeah, and that's one thing I had on my list was batteries. I don't know if I put any in my...
If you don't have one, we'll just go as far as we can.
This is really nice.
I wanted to talk about today that it's kind of a topic about the heart. And it kind of came to me the last time I taught a lot about the Word of God. And it kind of was a natural transgression to talk about the heart, because the Word of God has a lot to do with the heart. And the Bible has a lot to say about the heart. And first of all, there's a verse. A lot of people, they don't take the heart into as much consideration as they should. We need to look at the heart. Let's look at our first verse in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. And God looks at the heart, and we should too. And this verse is going to show us that. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, so in this passage, Samuel is looking for a replacement for King Saul. And Samuel is talking to the Lord about who the replacement is going to be. And Samuel, he thinks it's going to be the big, strong guy, the guy who's tall and everything. But what does the Lord say in verse 7? But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Okay, and so Samuel thought that the next king was going to be in the previous verse, Eliab, who is this big, strong guy, but God says, no, I look at the heart. And you can kind of see this in our everyday life. When people talk about other people, they talk about the things of their flesh, like how high they are, everything from their fingernail polish to their car to how many kids they have to these different things, okay? That anything to do with our outward appearance. But what God is concerned about is our heart. And the way that we can take a look at and understand the heart is going to God, because he's the one that sees it. And he writes down what we need to know about the heart in the Bible. So I just wanted to talk. There's some interesting things about the heart. We'll go to stay in 1 Samuel. We'll go to chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 13. So the heart is a really amazing thing. The physical heart is truly amazing, how it can pump and it has a lot of electricity going through it and how it's all coordinated and keeps you alive. But our spiritual heart is just as amazing, and it can do many things as well. Let's read here. Now Hannah is a woman who had yet to have a son, and she's going to be the mom of Samuel, and she's praying to the Lord here. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. And this is a very interesting passage showing how it says she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So this is showing how our heart can speak. And this is like how you can pray in your heart to the Lord. And it has a voice and the Lord can hear it. And even without a voice coming out of sound coming out of your voice, your heart can speak. Okay. It can think and it can imagine things. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So here it says that the heart has every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. So our heart, it can imagine things, it can think things, imagine bad things, imagine good things, and it has these things. And it's good to be aware of this, because the Lord talks a lot about the thoughts of our heart and what he wants them to be. Our heart, it has intent. It's the seat of our will and our purpose. So if we go to Isaiah chapter 14, we're going to, the I wills of Lucifer and what he said in his heart. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. And where did he say all these things? He said, for thou hast said in thine heart. So our heart is the seat of our intent and our purpose. Okay? And one thing about the heart, you know, God has designed our will to be very strong, whatever direction you use. You know, I was watching a movie the other night. It was an old 80s movie where I forgot who the main character was, but he was some big, strong FBI guy. And they were trying to get information out of somebody. And, you know, they were using chemicals to try to get him to speak. Because if someone doesn't want to do something, it's really hard to get them to do something. And they have to go as far as, you know, using chemicals and torture and whatnot. But, our will and our heart is very strong. okay, Proverbs 14:30. We're going to show how the heart affects the flesh. You know, it can cause us to cry. It can cause us to smile. It has a direct effect, a direct linkage to our flesh. Proverbs 14:30. It says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh," and your heart is connected to your flesh. And you can see that with emotions. You can see someone's outward appearance, kind of what they're feeling on the inside. And that's how God designed us. And it's important to look deeper than just our outward appearance into the heart. It has many emotions. We stay in Proverbs. Go to chapter 15, verse 13. I'm just going over briefly just different verses explaining all the different things the heart does, just to get a brief overview. Proverbs 15, 13. A merry heart, so our hearts can be merry, maketh a cheerful countenance. Okay, it makes you happy, and you smile, and your countenance is happy, cheerful. But by sorrow of the heart, so our heart can also be sorrowful, the spirit is broken. So our heart has a wide range of emotions, and it can be merry, it can be sorrowful, and we all know this in our life. When things happen, it causes different emotions. Our heart can be... we can exercise our heart in different practices. If we go to 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, our hearts can be exercised just like our bodies can. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. In heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. So he's talking about these sinners here who he talks about their heart, and they having exercised it with covetous practices. And we can exercise our heart in all sorts of practices. We can exercise our heart in anger. We can exercise our heart in greed. We can exercise our heart. And the heart is something that's made to move and to work. And we all do it. And it's good to be aware of this, because there's a way that God wants us to exercise our heart. There's a way that he wants us to speak with it, and thoughts he wants for it.
And unbelief is an exercise in the heart.
Yeah.
Just as you were reading the verse, I was thinking about the leaders during Christ's earthly ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their hearts were like Pharaoh's heart, the hardened.
Yeah. 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 All those things. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Our heart can be high or it can be low. If we go to Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17. Ezekiel, that's after Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17. Now, this is talking about Lucifer again. And it's interesting that the way that we understand Satan and Lucifer is by understanding his heart and what happened in his heart. And it says, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." Satan was lifted up in his heart because of pride, because of his beauty. And our hearts can be lifted up, and this is something we need to be aware of. And God talks about humbling our heart, and it talks about our hearts being lifted up. And but we don't want to be like that. And what we want to be like is in Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. Okay, so Lucifer's heart was lifted up, but the heart that God wants us to have here in verse 15, we can go to the second half of the verse. "I dwell in the high and holy places with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Okay, God wants us to have a humble and contrite heart. He's the one that is high, that he dwells in the high and holy places, not us. And we don't want our heart to be lifted up to where we think that we're God. No, we need to humble our hearts and have that contrite spirit. And these are all things of the heart that we need to be aware of. And this last verse here, Proverbs 4:23. Find it. Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Okay? For out of it are the issues of life. Everything that has to do in life, it's an issue of the heart. And we're going to see that it's an issue of what you believe in your heart. It's an issue of if you have God's word in your heart or not. And if you don't have God's word in your heart, a lot of bad things are going to be going on in your heart. And we can fix all those things with his word in our heart. And out of it are the issues of life. Okay? So I just wanted to go over these verses to show that the heart is real. When God says he looks at it, these are the things that he looks at. He looks at our intent. He looks at our thoughts. He looks at he understands our emotions. He looks at the exercises of our heart. He looks to see if it's lifted up or if it's humble and contrite. And he does all things, these things, because he knows that all the issues of life come from the heart. Okay? And so the heart is very real, and we need to take note of that. So, having said this, let's go to Jeremiah 17:10. So it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart." Okay? God is taking a look. He's looking at all these things. He's interested in you. You think that no one's watching. You think that you're by yourself. No, he's always with you and always aware of what's going on. And he's looking at these things in your heart. Psalms 33, verse 13 through 15. Now, I'm just going to go through a little bit of kind of how this is set up. Okay? How God, where God is, where we are, how he looks at us. It's kind of interesting. Psalms 33, verse 13 through 15. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. Okay, all the sons of men. Each and every one of us. Each and every one of us God takes note of. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. God cares about us. He's interested in what we're doing. It says he considereth all their works, and he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Each and every one of us he made and he fashioned, and he's concerned about. And what's he looking at? He's looking at our hearts. Hello. Come on in. All right. So God, so he's in heaven. Hey guys, how's it going? We're just talking about the heart today. And I'm teaching today. Mr. Tanner is somewhere else. But we're talking about the heart of man today and everything that it does. And I'll just take 1 minute to briefly summarize. And we always need summarization anyways because we forget things really quick. So it's good that you came in. So I was saying how God, I won't go through the verses, but how God looks, he says man looks at the outward appearance. He looks at the flesh, how tall you are, how strong you are, you know, what kind of car you drive and whatnot. But God looks at the heart, okay? And there's a verse that says that, how he looks at our heart. And there's many things that God says our heart can do. Our heart can speak. Our heart has thoughts. Our heart is where we have our will of what you want to do. You know, you want to get up in the morning, you have that will in you. The heart has lots of emotions. It could be happy, it could be sad. The heart affects our flesh. It can make us cry, it can make us smile. And we can use our heart for lots of different things. You can be angry in your heart. You could go after greed or different things. Our heart can be exercised. Our heart can be lifted up high in pride, or it could be low and humble. Okay? And we are just kind of going over some of the things that God says about our heart. So this is kind of where we are now. How God searches the heart. Okay? And he's looking at each and every one of our hearts. If we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Okay? So the last verse we were saying how God is in heaven and he looks upon men and he looks at their heart. And this verse says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward them. And this was, he was talking to the Israelites here, and he was would help them in war and things if they were to follow his word. But he's looking at our heart too. If we go to Jeremiah 17:10. Oh, actually, we already read that verse. All right, we'll go to the next verse. 1 Chronicles 28:9. All right, 1 Chronicles 28:9. It says, and thou, Solomon my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Okay? And So it says, "For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts." And when he looks at your heart and searches them, he looks at your imaginations and he looks at your thoughts. And you know what? He understands them. And you think that the secret, the things in your heart that no one will ever find out, well, he knows and he looks and he's interested. All right, let's go to Hebrews 4:13. Just have a couple, I think one more verse about this. All right, Hebrews 4:13. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." And that verse, how he said, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the earth." And you know what this says? It says, all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And, you know, he has, you know, the most high-powered equipment, so to speak, that he's using to look at everyone. Everyone wants that X-ray vision or the superpowers to read thoughts. You know, just imagine if you're able to look through that wall and see everything that's in there. And, you know, that's how he is with you. He's able to just look right into you and see everything that's in you. And he's actively doing that. He says he searches all the hearts of all men and of every creature. And that he's interested in what's going on inside of you. And everything is open before him. Okay? All these things in our heart. The things that, you know what he's looking at? He's looking at what we're speaking in our heart. He's looking at our thoughts and imaginations. He's looking at our intent and will. He's looking at the emotions in our heart, what we're exercising our heart with. Those are the things he's looking at. And it's all open and naked before him. And he's looking at them with his eyes. Okay? This is just a dumb cartoon. It's a little meme. Where's Waldo? But you know, God would know where Waldo was. Yeah, that's my point. All right. So how does he do this? How does he search our thoughts and understand them? If we go to Hebrews 4:12. Okay, Hebrews 4:12. Oh yeah, no problem. I know I'm going very fast. Too fast. But the world, it doesn't take into consideration these things. The world is obsessed with, you turn on, you know, all the magazines at the checkout counter at the grocery store, the news, you know, it's all about the outward things and their house and their mansion and, you know, their all these, how big of a ring she has or whatever. It's all about the outward things of the flesh. But what God is interested in is the things inside of us. Okay? All right, so in Hebrews 4:12, how does he search our hearts? How does he know what our thoughts are, if they're good or bad? How does he know what our will is? In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow." Now it's this last part here. "And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So the word of God discerns our thoughts and intents of the heart. To discern means, are they good or are they bad? And so what God does when he looks upon your thoughts and your intents and whatnot in your heart, he's comparing them to his word. And do they line up with his word? Are you believing his word? And if they do, then you have a good heart and it agrees with his word. And if you don't, then you're at contrary with his word, and that's sin. And when you don't have faith, and that's when sin is in your heart. So it's very interesting. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and that's the word of God. So when God If God wants to know when he searches and he says, are these people, are they with me or not? He's going to use his word because that's what he has given us to obey and to have faith in. And he's going to see if we are. So the stethoscope there, when he's examining the heart, that's like the word of God. He's holding it up to you and seeing if the things in your heart are lining up with his word. Okay. And we can do the same with ourselves. We can line the word of God up with ourselves and see if the things in our heart are lining up with his word. So he's looking, he's the physician, he's looking at the heart. And what does he say about it? Not very good things, okay? So let's go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 19.
One observation, just listening to you talk, is that the grace of God, who's given us his word, it's not like we've got to figure this thing out. He gives us the roadmap. And, mm-hmm. and when you were talking about how it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, well, then you look back at what you were saying in Isaiah 14, where Satan says, I will, I will, I will. The wonderful grace of God says, he will, and he gives it, and we can rest in that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said,
that's
how he gave it us. Are we trusting in what he's mm-hmm. already laid out for us, or are we that, I will, I will, I will?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, making his will our own.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all there, and he will hold us accountable to it one day. Okay. All right. So God looks at our thoughts and intents. Let's go to Matthew 15, verse 19. And he uses his word to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. What does he say about our thoughts? Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. God is concerned about these things of the heart here. And when God compares, takes his word and compares it to our heart to discern the thoughts, he says they're evil thoughts. Okay? In its natural state, the heart that we're born with, it has evil thoughts. If you're just on your own, not listening to the word of God, these are the things that are going to be in your heart. They're going to be all these bad things. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, okay? He says the same thing in Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the hearts of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Okay? What sin is sin is an issue of the heart. And it's an issue of, are you believing, have God's word in your heart or not? And when we look at the world, and this list of things looks just like the things we see on the news. And the world tries to fix these problems their own way instead of attacking it at its source, which is the heart. And when you see these things in your own life and the life of people around you, you have to understand that it's an issue of the heart that is wrong with that person or yourself. And the way to fix that, as we're going to see, is with the word of God. Okay. Some more verses about our heart. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. So Ecclesiastes is Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3. There "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all." Yea, so this is the part here. "Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead." This kind of sums up life for most people if you're not saved. You have madness in your heart. And that's true. You know, a lot of people, their life, if you don't have God, this is what is going to be in your life, madness. And then you die. That's pretty much it. And let's read that again. "Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil." It's full of it. You know, we read that verse in Matthew and Mark of all the things that are going on in our heart. There's a lot of bad things there. That's why he says it's full of evil. And that says, "And madness is in their heart." This makes this, you know, you have all these things going on. It would make you mad. There's no structure there while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 22:17. See, there's a lot of verses about the heart. It's a very important thing to God. And it has a lot to do with the word of God, which we'll see. Jeremiah 22:17. "But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it." He's talking to Israel and saying they've been using their heart for these things. And he's saying, your heart's not to be used for thy covetousness and to shed innocent blood and for oppression and for violence. You look around the world and you see these things going on, it's because of the evil heart of man. And that's the reason why bad things happen. You know, if people say, why are these things happening? It's because of the evil heart of man. And it's because they're not having faith and obeying the word of God in their heart. And the way to fix these things is with the word of God. And it's an issue of the heart. The evil in the world. In Genesis 8:21, so this verse is for the kiddos in here. I don't know if you guys are kids anymore. You're what, teenagers now? Kind of getting there. Teens. All right. Well, this verse is for you. All right. "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart," so this is after the Lord flooded the earth, okay, "I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every thing living as I have done." So the part there, "For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." And we know this when you see little kids, what's one of the first things you have to tell them? Like, no, right? As soon as they can make decisions and do things, they're going to start getting into trouble. And all these, you think that kids are very important to take note of and to teach and to teach them the right way, because all these same evil thoughts that adults do, they have the same things in their heart. And it's amazing the bad things that kids can get into. And so kids, this is all very important for you. All right, let's go to our last verse on this. Let's go to Jeremiah 17:9. All right. So this kind of sums everything up here about the heart. Okay? It says, Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Okay? It's the most evil thing there is, our heart. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And you can kind of think of it as the weapon of mass destruction in this world. You know, we think of all the bombs and all the nukes and whatever they're talking about, but it's the heart of man that's the weapon of mass destruction in this world, the thing that's causing the violence and the bloodshed and all the evil. And when we understand this as Christians, we can kind of understand the world better, or else it will make you mad. If you don't understand the things going on from a spiritual standpoint, it is madness, and you're going to be not, you're going to just, it's going to, you'll just end up just not wanting to listen. I mean, you don't want to turn on the news. I mean, those are fine things. I'm like, I don't want to watch it either, but it's just madness if you don't understand it. Okay. So what is the answer to this in our life? Okay, we have this, all of us, each and every one of us have this within us from our youth. It's full of it. What is the answer to this problem, the man's problem of this heart? Okay, if we'll start out in Psalms chapter 119. Verse 9. All right, Psalms chapter 119, verse 9 through 11. So it says David, and he's talking here, and says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments." Now this verse is a real good verse here. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Okay, this verse 11 here. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And we, in each and every one of us, we can hide the word in our heart. You can open up your heart and you can listen with it to the words of God. And this, the word of God, when it comes into your heart, Christ will come into your heart. And it will bring life and it will bring light. And it's the word of God, which is the thing, which is what our hearts need. And if there's something in your life or someone else's life that is a problem, address it with the word of God. That's how you address problems in this life, is with the word of God. Paul talks about this in Romans 6, chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Romans chapter 6, 17. So this right here is the key, the answer that Paul gives us. Okay? "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Okay, let's read that part again. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." And when the key is obeying in your heart, listening, having faith, hearing the word of God and saying, okay, agreeing with it in your heart. Okay, and this is what will change your life. And the doctrine, all the doctrine that Paul gives us, these doctrines of grace, are the things that can really change us. And it's an issue of your heart. It's an issue of the doctrine. And it's an issuing of, are you going to listen or are you not going to listen? And obeying, what obeying is saying okay to what he has to say. And when you say okay, your life will head in a different direction. And when you align your intent, and when you align your thoughts, and when you align your exercise of your heart with his word and you obey it, this is how you will be changed. And Paul goes on to talk about this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Okay, Ephesians 3, verse 17. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And faith, as we know, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's all about these precious words that bring life in this book. And it's about listening to them in your heart. And that's, and we want Christ to dwell in our hearts. And this word dwell is interesting. You know, there's this verse in Jeremiah. Let me exit out of this PowerPoint for a second and look at my Jeremiah 4:14. If we go there. Jeremiah 4:14. He says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall they vain thoughts lodge within thee? How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? And where Christ said, dwell in your hearts by faith, and this word lodge in thee, you know, that's, you can, a lot of people have things that are really deep rooted, that are lodging, that have settled in, that have built their roots in people's hearts and minds, and that are dwelling there, that are living there, they're thriving in people's, in all of our hearts. We all have those things. And this word lodge is similar to that word Paul uses, dwell. And it's about these things dwelling in our hearts. And we have to fight those things and replace them with the word of God. So I just thought that word dwell and that word lodge in Jeremiah, where it says vain thoughts lodge within thee, was kind of interesting. But that concept of these thoughts and replacing them with the word of God. And we'll just go over a couple more verses because we've got five more minutes. So we'll go to Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And it's about letting the word of Christ dwell in us. It's about the doctrine that Paul said we should obey in our hearts. It's about letting Christ dwell in our hearts by faith. And this is how we change, and this is what God wants to see in us. And you know what? When God searches your heart with His Word, He's going to see if His Word has been believed in your heart, and that's what He's looking for. And this is something that we need to really. It's hard. It's hard to ignore, to replace our own ways with His ways, but it's something that we need to work on. This is just a dumb picture. I don't know. He's a repairman trying to fix his heart. I don't know. It's an old model, probably not worth repairing. I wish I'd taken out a service contract. But it's just an image to show that, you know, that's what God sees, and He's going in there to fix it, right? And He's the repairman. Yeah. All right, we'll just do one more verse. Let's go to Ephesians 5:19. Or, yeah, there's a couple. We'll do two verses. So when you let the word of God into your heart, good things happen in your heart, and the heart rejoices because of this. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And this is what He wants us to be doing with our heart, is speaking to yourselves in your heart in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And when the word of God comes into your heart, this is what will happen. It should produce a good sound in your heart. And it has the power to do that. And it just takes a little bit of His word can really make a big difference in your life.
So much of the songs sung in churches today are so doctrinally incorrect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you get a song stuck in your head.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, you're repeating bad doctrine all day long.
Yeah, the songs today.
It's very dangerous.
Yeah, they're made more for the consume, like to sell the song, not, you know, to the truth of it. All right, we'll do this. I promise this will be our last one in Jeremiah 15:16. All right, Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, so it's thy words, God's words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. And this will really happen. Your heart will really have joy and rejoicing when we eat His words through faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You just have to open up the words and just believe them in your heart. And specifically, Paul's doctrine are the words that are for us today. I know this was kind of a topical all over the Bible, not really focused on Paul's doctrine, but it, you know, the heart of man has been the same since the beginning of time. And out of it have proceeded all the issues of life. And all the issues in my life and in your life come from our heart. And they have to do with what you're believing in it. And if that's why it's important to read your Bible and to study it and to memorize the verses. As David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so, Bible memory it goes a long way. And if you just memorize one verse a week, you know, that's not a lot. And if you just say the verse, you know, try and say it to yourself or something, or carry it on a little note card and just keep a verse in your heart, and just obey it and just humble your heart and let God speak and have faith. And that's how you can change your life and the life of those around you. All right. So we'll close in a word of prayer and then we'll end. Dear Lord, we thank you very much that you speak to us in your word about what we need to know about ourselves. And you look at our hearts and you tell us what's in our hearts, and it's evil if left to its own imagination. And we need to line our hearts up with your words, and we need to get in our Bibles and see what those words are. And so that when you look at our hearts, you can find that they're serving you. Amen. Thanks.